Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives. Hi, everyone. It is Seychelle Van Poole, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Wendy Papazan. You've got both of
Hello,
us
my
today.
Love. Hello. Hello, my love. So nice to see you.
I'm so happy to see you, too. And today, we're going to bring you part two of our new buyer mindset, because in this market, this is a new buyer. And so this is part two of our new buyer mindset and how to create a wow experience that helps the buyer have confidence in their experience with you. And Wendy and I are going to give you like all the juicy like deets that you need to know to help these buyers navigate this market. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, buyers are careful, they're informed, they're cautious, they don't want to make the wrong decision. And when you are proactive and prepared as their real estate agent, you can help them feel capable and confident in their decisions. And really, so much of this happens before the showing.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. Well, it's just setting expectations is really number one.
Yes.
And Seychelle and I are experts at this because we've been in, you know, declining markets for several years now.
More than I've been in good ones, honestly.
Yeah. 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 We're in our third year. Actually, we flattened out here in Austin, but, you know, we had 3 years of price declines. And mm-hmm. so there was a lot of expectation setting on both the buyer and the seller side. And so, yeah. So number one is set expectations. I tell my agents on my team, you know, you kind of want to treat your buyers, you don't want to baby them, but a little, mm-hmm. you want to treat them a little bit like toddlers, okay? So you're going to set expectations with them, which is like, okay, this afternoon, this is what we're going to have as a snack. This is when we're going to take our nap. This is when bedtime is, because they want that from you.
Yeah.
Okay, they have hired you to help them understand the process. They don't want to have to ask questions after something happens. They want you to set expectations with them. So
yeah.
A few expectations to consider. One, just because it's been sitting on the market, just because a home has been sitting on the market does not mean it's broken.
It's true.
Nope. It does not mean it's broken. We've got areas of town in Austin that houses are sitting 9, 10, 11 months because we have so many builders that built in that area. Okay. Doesn't mean it's broken. And sellers might be stubborn.
Yeah.
They might be upside down. They might be, you know, it might have just been some kind of data error. It might be a bad agent.
It could be.
Right? There's lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very, very probable. And then just, you know, you need to understand that when there's a lot of choices, buyers get completely overwhelmed. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to set expectations with them, which is like, listen, I'm going to do the heavy lifting for you. I want to ask you 50 questions and show you 5 homes instead of asking you 5 questions and show you 50 homes.
That's
Nobody
right.
wants to see 50 homes.
No. No one wants to do that.
You don't.
And especially when buyers are doing 80% of their research online, I think so often they think, well, my parents saw a million houses or I got dragged around to a ton of homes, so I should do that too. And it's like, no, you're seeing the inside of so many houses ahead of time. You're doing 80% of the research online. The 20% of validation is what's happening during the showing. We're not starting from ground zero every time we go show a home.
Yeah.
So I think that's important for them to realize too.
Yeah. And it's like digging through a massive clearance bin versus having 5, you know, I don't do this, but my husband shops at Nordstrom. And when he goes there, they've got like 5 shirts picked out for him. And that just works better for him. I'm more of like a digging through the clearance bin kind of gal. I'm just saying. But most people don't like that.
We love a deal.
Especially not when it comes.
You and I love a deal. But also, though, you're willing to be patient with that process and you know that's what you're doing. So you're like in reality that that's what's happening.
But when I'm buying a home or investment property, that is not something I want to do. So yeah. Help them understand that even move-in ready homes have hidden costs. So you're reminding them of that. There might be inspection surprises. There might be repairs. There might be remodeling after the fact. Because I've had not necessarily our buyers, but I've talked to buyers who've had maybe an agent who didn't set that expectation up for them. And it's not fun to spend the first year in your home house poor.
No, it's not.
It's not fun.
And you know, it creates all sorts of like questions and resentment on the back end. So if you can get ahead of that, I think it just sets everybody up for the win all the way around.
Yeah.
Now, the second part of this is that when you are physically showing the home, and I think a lot of you as real estate agents realize this, but you may not realize how much you need to be doing in this market, that so much happens and should happen before you physically show up to show the home. This is not where the buyer texts you and says, I want to see 123 Main Street. And you say, great, let's see it in 30 minutes. And then you both just show up surprised as to what you're going to find. That's not the goal. But I see it happen all the time.
Yeah, of course.
All the time.
Also, you guys are building your empire and your big life. You don't have time for that BS.
No.
You really don't.
And we talked in the last episode, right, about the psychology of the buyer. The buyer wants you to lead this process. And so here are some of the things if you're not currently doing it, because the market was so hot at one point and so fast, and some of you are still in really hot markets that literally it's like the house hits the market and you have multiple offers in a few hours or a day. Well, guess what? When a home is sitting on the market longer, you really have due diligence that you should be doing ahead of time. And we're going to tell you specifically what that is here, because you can do so much of the homework ahead of time to where when the buyer is viewing the home, we're deciding whether or not we're writing the offer on that home, like right in that process.
Yeah.
So the first thing you want to do, right, is call the listing agent. And I love to physically pick up the phone. This is not a text. I know I'm old school with this, but tone matters. And I find a lot of times agents will tell me something verbally that they will not put in writing. And so if I was calling Wendy, I'd say, hey, Wendy, I'm going to be showing our buyers 123 Main Street. I'm super excited about it. It looks really cute. Have you had any offers on this home?
Nope. No offers.
No offers. Do you have any you're working right now?
Nope.
Notice how I asked that two different ways?
So smart.
Because sometimes they will not be working offers, but they've had ones that have fallen through before. And you want to know what happened if those didn't work out. Okay. So that's number one. You want to ask that both ways. The second one is to say, you know, if our buyers really love this home, do you know what your seller's ideal time frame is? And do they know where they're going? Okay. So now I'm finding out their motivation.
Yeah.
Right?
Smart.
And then I want to say, like, are there any other second showings? And then the last thing I always love to ask is to say, you know, what do I need to know about this home or the seller situation that I couldn't find out on MLS? And I like to know that because sometimes they'll say, you know what? They've had a relocation. They're moving next week. They're freaking out and they need to go and they're super motivated. Bring me anything. Sometimes they'll say, this seller's upside down. They cannot afford to negotiate a single dime. And I need you to know that. Because if I'm looking at comps, right, I need to know what the seller's situation is, that's perspective, in addition to how the home is priced. And those two things, right? A home is only worth what a seller's willing to sell it for and what a buyer's willing to pay for it. So we got to know both sides of that.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to know those things if you can get that perspective before you're walking in the home. And also, you are so much better as a guide.
That's so good.
Yeah,
so
to be able to walk them through that.
Well, and then the next thing you want to do is you want to have your buyers drive the area. So I have like a really funny story about this, actually a buyer agent on my team, shout out to Stephanie. She gave this really good advice to one of her clients. And she actually said, drive by at night and see how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. And not to offend any of our gentle listeners out there, but actually he drove by and it was a little bit late at night. And there was a guy taking a poop in the middle of the front yard of this home that he was considering buying.
So it literally was a poop house. Like,
literally.
Yeah, so like, we could use a different word, but yeah.
Were you looking for a sign from the universe not to buy this house? Well, you got
home
it.
Was a dump, literally.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. So, whoops, good thinking. So she looked like a genius. And yeah, it just, you know, that's probably not going to happen to most people. And yet, it's just good to know what's out there.
It is, though. And I think also, too, the other thing I always tell them is, like, go either Google Map or drive the home during rush hour if you have to commute, like, because the neighborhood you like, if you think you like it, but you're driving it on a Saturday at 10 a.m. versus a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., those could be two very different commute times. So really, like, identifying.
Well, you can change. I'm sure you probably know this, but, like, maybe our listeners don't. You can actually change the time. You know, when you go into Google Maps and you do drive time, you can change the day. And I would do, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. See all of them and see what the drive time is, both coming and going. Because I know in Austin, we've got so many tech companies that are only working, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's true.
You can have a pretty good commute 3 days of the week. you know?
I think that's awesome. Another thing that really makes you look like a pro is if you get to the home, drive the quick immediate area before you get there. Like, know where the park is. Know if there's like a weird broken down RV, two-door, you know, like around the corner. Like, drive, literally take a quick hot lap around the neighborhood to know what's there, how far the community pool
is. In your car.
In your car. Yeah. And we're in Texas, y'all. It's hot. Don't do it on foot. Go drive it. But also, like, get there early enough to turn the lights on in the home, like do a quick lap so you know where the kitchen is, the bedrooms, like the bathrooms, if the backyard's small, if there's hot buttons for them. It's great to know that ahead of time. Even if you can only do that at the first house, it's really good to know. And then I would say too, if you're like with relocation clients or you know they're running from one thing to the next, bring some water and some snacks. No one likes to make decisions hungry. So I know that sounds kind of like a, you know, the mom and us saying that to you, but I do think it helps if you're literally prepared for them in order to be able to go see that house.
Yes, so smart. So smart. And then just bring everything, you know, so bring the seller's disclosure, bring comps, bring any kind of utility history that might be available online, any HOA docs, anything that helps your buyer make a smart decision that day.
Yeah, I think that's so good. So, so good. At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
All right. Next thing you want to do is, you know, during the showings, you want to use language that builds trust. So depending on your relationship with the client, this might be more or less important. But, you know, buyers appreciate honesty. You know, they don't want a sales pitch from you. And within the first few minutes, you know, the buyer is going to know 90% if they're going to buy this home or not.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to know. Remind them of that. Like, you're going to walk in, it's going to just feel right. Those of you that are experienced know exactly what I'm talking about. Buyer walks in, they're like, whoa, yeah, this is the one. And you just give them permission to move on if it's not. So one of the things that we do on our team is we actually do a ranking. We give them an ABC ranking. You could walk into the house, and if you walk in and the house is a C, let's just turn around and walk out.
The home is not going to feel bad. It doesn't have emotion if you don't like it.
No.
Like, if you're not going to buy it, the seller doesn't want to be kicked out of the house for an hour with you trying to be polite anyways. So,
well, I think sometimes buyers feel bad because they think that it's a house that we've picked out for them. And if they don't like it, they're going to make us feel bad. So just giving those expectations up front. And we actually do two things. So every home gets an A, B, or C ranking. And then as we're showing multiple homes, which for those of you who are in markets that are declining and you've been in a hot real estate market for a while, you maybe haven't ever showed 8 to 12 homes.
Yeah.
So you're actually giving everyone a letter and then a number. So the first house that you look at gets a number one because it's the best house that you've seen. And then at every step you are evaluating, is it number one? Is it number two? Okay, so you want to end up really with your top five homes, and then everything's going to have an A, B, or C ranking. And of course, you're getting rid of the Cs. You're helping your buyer decide if the B goes to an A or it goes to a C, and then you're constantly ranking 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So, you know, like Seychelle said, at the end of the day, you want to make an offer because you've been steadily ranking them throughout the day.
I love that. One, something we do too is if it's at the bottom of the list, I literally will rip the sheet up and be like, great, that one's off the list. And it literally
just like throw the pieces
in
the air.
I throw it in the back seat. Like, it's great. It's very visual. But I'm like, we give ourselves permission. We're not buying that house. Move on. And so, and we do, instead of an ABC, we do a ranking of 1 to 10, like somewhere the home between an 8 and a 10 is the one we're writing offers on. And anything below like a 6 or 7 is probably not going to buy. And always
it's
make sure.
It's a poop house.
It's a poop house. It is literally a dump house. And I like both the buyers or all parties involved to give a ranking. And if you have kids, I think it's fun to have the kids rank it as well, because sometimes they'll give you perspective that the parents hadn't thought about. I've seen multiple times where a kid sways a parent actually in their decision of the home because parents thought it was a 6, but the kid's going, this is a 11 for me.
I love that.
The next thing you know, you're riding on the 11 house that the kid wanted, because
yeah,
that's the only reason why they're willing to move. So
yeah. The way you build trust with a buyer is you're actually pointing out the things that are wrong with the house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because a lot of buyers might have the idea like, oh, my realtor is going to push me into something. Like, salespeople are pushy. I don't want to be pushed. I can't, you know, maybe I have feel like they're just salespeople are dishonest. I don't know, whatever story's mm-hmm. going on in their head. So by pointing out the things that are wrong with the house, you actually build a lot of trust. So you're going to be walking in the backyard and you're going to say, oh, wow, look at this. This backs to a power line. This could really impact the resale. They're so grateful for that. You're talking about, oh, this is a corner lot. This has pros and cons. You know, sometimes corner lots sell faster. Sometimes people don't like corner lots because they feel too exposed,
mm-hmm.
right? You might say this is the only remodeled home in the neighborhood. You know, you don't always want to be the biggest and most expensive home in the neighborhood. That could be a problem. This backs up to something weird, backs up to a Super 8 motel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might affect resale.
I literally had a home we valued yesterday, and it was for one of our sellers. And it not only does it back to a wastewater plant processing facility, so literally poop again. I mean, what is up with this? And it backs to railroads, and it's at the back of the neighborhood backing to both.
Yeah.
And no other agent had talked to the seller about these things. And I'm like, what? But if a buyer's walking that home, I need to price it accordingly and make sure that the buyer has room and equity to understand they're literally going to back to a waste facility and mm-hmm. railroad tracks. That impacts the buyer's perspective. So as an agent, mm-hmm. I should be pointing that out to the buyer.
Yeah. And sometimes the buyer won't care.
Absolutely.
And you need to let them know that future buyers
might
will care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually had one guy, it was super weird. It's the only time it ever happened. But I had a buyer who very specifically wanted a house with low ceilings.
Was it cozy for him? Was there a reason?
Only one I've ever had. I guess so. Mm. I don't know. I didn't dig too deep in it. I felt like there was something there I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still had to tell him, hey, you know what? This may be not the best thing for resale.
Yeah. That's fair.
You might like it.
You know, and I think, too, just as much as it is to point out the things that could impact resale, and you're not trying to kill their hopes and dreams in a home they really like, but it's important to be realistic and saying, awesome, right? You said you wanted X, Y, Z. This home has all three of those things. That's fantastic. I just want to make sure you're aware this does back to power lines, so it could take us longer to sell it in the long term. But starting, too, with, you know, you said you wanted these three or five things. This home checks this many of those boxes. Making sure that you are reaffirming you heard them, and that this home has that, I think, is helpful for them in their decision-making process, too.
Yeah, because you just don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, when we bought our first house, we knew nothing. We knew nothing about the schools or whether or not that was important. Or, you know, I think sometimes we go on autopilot.
For sure.
With our knowledge. You know, we have this unconscious competence about things. And you just need to take a step back and realize, wow, this person's never done anything like this before.
Yeah.
So you need to help them out.
Yeah. And the average home buyer buys, what, every 7 to 10 years? So they definitely haven't bought in this market regularly. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Here's a pro tip. Do not discuss sensitive information or information about the buyer or the seller anywhere inside the home. There are listening devices and cameras, I guarantee you, in the majority of houses these days. Don't do it at the front door either. Don't do it at the back door. So if you're going to talk negotiation strategy or motivation of the seller, or wow, this home is the most amazing home we've ever seen, or anything really, don't do it inside the house. Do it like on the phone or in the car afterwards, because sellers are listening, and I don't blame them. Like, they should. I've had it before where one seller was trashing the buyer in the home that I was with, embarrassingly for me, was trashing the home's personal taste. Did not like it. Thought their personal taste of design was terrible. And every room we walked into was not being kind about it. And I got no less than 2 minutes away from that home, and that seller's agent was calling me saying, I don't even care if your buyer thought this is the most amazing home in the entire world. My seller is unwilling to work with your client because of how rude they were towards the seller in the home.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, they didn't want to buy that house. I was mortified. I kept trying to like stop her in the home anyways and saying these things. But people are listening, and they're making decisions on whether or not they do or don't want to work with you in that showing experience now. It's not a private showing. It is now a public showing.
Yeah.
And your clients are on display.
Yeah. So smart. Well, and it's, you know, was somebody's good idea.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point. So.
Yeah,
nothing totally. Wrong with that. So you want to just make sure to be their filter and not a follower, okay? You don't want to just be asking, hey, what did you think about the house? Instead, be very specific. You want to have a system, like Seychelle and I are talking about, whether it's your 1 to 10 or your ABC system or whatever it is, you got to be ranking and helping your buyers make a good decision.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they want your advice.
They do.
Nobody wants a wishy-washy salesperson. Mm-hmm. They don't want a hyper-aggressive person that's going to push them, but they also want someone who's going to lead them to making a good decision. So feel free to say, hey, here's what I want you to know before moving forward.
I love that. Well, I think it's very okay. If you're standing in a home and it is the prettiest, cheapest home in the neighborhood, it is okay to tell them that. This home is amazingly priced. It's in the best condition. And the likelihood of us finding another one like this is pretty rare. I think it's also okay after the showing to say, or before, I like to tell them actually, as we're driving up to the home on the phone, to like conference them in as we're driving up to the next house, if they're behind me and not in the car, is to say, you know, hey, this home is a little bit overpriced. So either if the seller doesn't have any negotiation room, you just really need to love this home for it to make sense to buy it for resale, or hold it for a longer period of time and the market will eventually catch up with you. But I think it's great to give them that perspective so they know what they're walking into on the purchase price. As you're viewing the home, they can then make a decision of how much they do or don't love it.
So smart. Yeah, so smart. And then number four, you really want to manage emotions, right? And create clarity. So you want to reassure them and pace everything. So again, you're the one that's the expert in the field. You can say to them, this sounds like this is your home, right? Let's make sure it's the right one.
Yeah.
You know, if we've seen a few homes, 5, 6, 7, 8 homes, however many now, and you haven't found the right one, we may need to adjust your price and location, right? So again, you're not going out and showing them 50 homes after you've seen a few, right? Because presumably we've looked at several online and everything's, and if everything's a hard no.
Right.
Okay, well, great. I understand that. Everything's a hard no, which means we have to either adjust your price. We probably need to bump it up. Or we need to look at a different location, right, where things are going to be a little bit less expensive. And that's your job.
Yeah,
okay, it's your job to do that. It's not your job to show them house after disappointing house, you know? And then they look up and they're like, ugh.
Those are Uber drivers and they get paid per ride. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
That's a different game.
Yeah, and Uber drivers in my town have been replaced by Waymo.
Yeah.
So
we don't want to be that.
No.
We don't want to be that. And then after each showing, it's our job to ask questions and set expectations. So after each showing, and Wendy and I both said earlier, right, we're ranking the homes. Okay, great. This home was a 10 or this home is an A1. Are we buying this home today? Right? Are we ready to make this ours? Can you see yourself in it? If yes, let's go ahead and make our plan, craft our offer and get it going. If it's not, then say, okay, let's assess what we liked and didn't like about these houses that we need to adjust in our search. When do we want to go out next? Okay. And 2 days at noon. You always want to have your next time you're either getting together, talking, or seeing homes on the schedule, because that's what keeps momentum going. And then you finish it to say, great, I'll see you in 2 days at noon. The next step is I'm going to revise your search. We're going to send it to you. And then we're going to get you out to go see homes. And we're going to pick them beforehand and get it going. But you want to have a plan. You don't ever want to leave going, okay, well, we didn't find the one. You know what? There will be another. Okay, you just let me know
we'll
if you see something.
Catch up with you soon.
Yeah. Like you are literally just like shepherding them into another agent's like foray that they're going to meet in an open house and end up working with them. So we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we always have a game plan and a next step so that they know that you are driving the process, you are on top of it, and you're already leading them to the next phase.
So good. Yeah. And then you just want to close with confidence, because at the end of the day, a buyer wants, especially in this market when they have a lot of choices, you know, we're seeing, I don't know about you, Seychelle, but we're seeing so many deals fall through. I mean, more than we've ever had in my 16 years of real estate. We just have a lot of buyers who are like, you know what? I don't feel great about it. I feel like there might be a better deal around the corner. I might get something cheaper. I might want to wait till interest rates go down. I want to wait till prices fall even further. And you just need to really have your hot stats in place so that they feel really comfortable and confident that they're making a really good decision. And the showing is where all of that trust is built.
That's right.
Right? Because you've set expectations. You've pointed out things that could go wrong. Right? You've given them a process and a system in order to make a good decision. You know, all the studies show the more choices that someone has, the less satisfied they are with their choices.
That's right.
which is why people who bought several years ago when they only had one choice
there's one.
Are thrilled about it.
Yeah. They're thrilled about it.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, when they have a great deal and they had, 20 houses to choose from, they're not feeling that great about it because there could be, just that other house out there that could have been slightly better. And so you have to help them really narrow down their focus, create a system for them so that they feel really comfortable and confident. And if you come prepared, protect their mindset and lead like the expert you are for sure going to close the deal.
I love that. Well, we hope this has helped you wrap your head around today's buyers, their mindset, and how to win with them. And if this has been helpful for you, please help us share it with a friend and write us a 5-star rating and review because that's how we get to help more people. And this is so much fun for us. So go out there, you all, build that big business, and don't forget an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.